We open the Word of God and read from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. Luke, chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, and we're going to read the first 20 verses. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. We read this far in God's holy and inspired word. The text for this morning is verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Beloved, how do you respond to the message of the gospel in Christmas? Not remember. There are many today who remember the birth of Jesus Christ, but there is little response. The question is not how do you remember, but how do you respond to the birth of Jesus Christ? Now, if we read the gospel accounts that have to do with the birth of Jesus Christ, we see the response of men and angels to the birth of Jesus Christ. You have the singing of the angels, the responses of the shepherds, of Zacharias, of Simeon, of Anna, and also the unbelieving response of Herod, or as you have it here in verse 18, the people of Bethlehem, all they that heard it wondered at those things which the shepherds said. How do you respond to the message of the birth of Christ? What we have in the text is one of Mary's responses, Mary's believing responses to the birth of Jesus Christ. We've been looking at Mary over several Sundays. And on the one hand, we've noticed that all the things that the Roman Catholic Church says about Mary are not true. She's not the Immaculate Perpetual Virgin. She's not the Queen of Heaven, the Supreme Intercessor, the Co-Redemptrix. It's not as though our salvation and the birth of the Christ depends on her willingness, and as though she made a choice which brought salvation to us. But the whole story of the birth and conception of the Christ child is a story of sovereign grace. It's unexpected and undeserved on Mary's part. It's a message of salvation. What is impossible for man, God makes possible. Mary says, "How shall these things be?" God says through the angel, "With God, nothing is impossible." But on the other hand, we've seen that Mary is an example of faith. She's an outstanding example of a believer in Scripture. She's not on a different level than us. She's one with us as a child of God. But she's one who is saved herself through believing, through faith in her Son. And the virtue that we see in Mary is, as with all the saints of the Scripture recorded, especially in Hebrews 11, an example left in the Scripture for us to follow. And in her response here to the birth of the Savior, she's also an example to us. This is how we today should properly respond to the birth of the Savior. And it's very necessary. In all the busyness, in all the celebration, we should stop, as Mary does, to ponder these things in our heart. Let's consider this morning Mary's pondering, and we'll notice three things. First, what she did, and then second, what she pondered, and then third, what it produced. First, what did Mary do? And there are two words in the text to describe what Mary did. Mary kept all these things. And the word kept has the idea of treasuring. She stored them up. There was something that she saw as valuable, so she kept it. She didn't let it go by. She didn't let it become lost on her. And children, you understand the idea here. If you would hold out your hand and I would fill it with Smarties and two of them would roll out of your hand, you'd run after them because you treasure them, you keep them. That's the idea here. Mary keeps and she treasures what's given to her. When parents have a new child, they often have a baby book and they record in it all the important things that happen in the life of the child. The first tooth and the first smile and the first step and all these events that seem so important. Well, that's what Mary's doing here. Only she doesn't have a baby book, but her mind becomes a treasure chest of all these important things connected to the birth of her child. And she keeps them. She keeps them. She sees them as important. And so she treasures and keeps them. And then the other word that's used here is she ponders them. She kept all these things and she pondered them in her heart. And the idea is that she weighed them and she mulled them over and she thought about them. Literally in the Greek, she laid them next to each other to compare them with each other. She's reasoning in her mind. She's communicating with herself. She's saying, if this is true, and if this is true, and if this is true, then this. She's laying all these things up in her mind next to each other. She's putting everything out on the table in front of her to see what she's got and to see what the sum of all of it is. So she not only keeps her treasure, but she sees its value and she adds the treasures to each other. She calculates their worth in her mind. What we have in the believing activity of Mary here is a marvelous biblical example of the Christian virtue and activity of meditation. It shows us the depth of Mary's faith as a young woman. She's not only a virgin, a woman who's pure and godly. She's not only a woman who knows the scriptures. 15 times we saw in her song, she refers to the Old Testament scriptures. She's not only a woman who responds in praise to the work of God in her life, but now we see something of the depth of the faith of Mary. She's a person of personal meditation. The part of her that you can't see is busy in the things of God. She's thinking on and she's mulling over and fitting together the things that God has shown to her. And what an example of faith. The Bible tells us that this is what the believer does. The believer is not just an externalist in his faith. Jesus says this himself in his words when he talks about prayer. He says we shouldn't do things to be seen or heard of men, but the Christian enters into his closet and there prays. And this is what you see in Mary. She lives not before men, but before God, first of all. And this is what the believer does. In Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Where does the virtue of the one who's blessed here come from? He doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scorners. He doesn't stand with sinners. Where does it come from? It comes from his meditation day and night on the law of God, in his mind, in his heart, as well as his life. He's a Christian before God. In Psalm 63, verse 6, the psalmist says, I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. And then in Psalm 77, verse 12, he says, I will meditate also of all thy works and talk of thy doings. So the psalmist is saying that this is the child of God on his own before God. Paul exhorts Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verse 15, meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Meditate on them. And you see that in Mary. How is it that she knew the scriptures? From where does her godliness come? It comes from this deep Christian, spiritual, believing virtue that she keeps. And she ponders the Word of God in her heart. Now, this is something that's ongoing in the child of God. It's not something that she does, that Mary does just once in her life. But this characterizes the child of God from moment to moment. He does this as he goes about his normal work, and that's what you see here in Mary, in the busyness of the birth of a child, in the visitors coming, in all the activity there in the stable and in the birth of this child, in all her duties and responsibilities as a new mother. She ponders, she meditates. All the while, as she hears the words of the shepherd and goes about her duties, she's comparing things with things in her mind. She's meditating on the Word of God. And you read that characterized Mary. Later on in the same chapter, Luke 2 and verse 51, when Jesus is 12 years old, we read, he went down to Nazareth with them and was subject unto them, but his mother kept all these things in her heart. This was characteristic of this godly and this believing woman. And this is the expression of the deep faith of the child of God on a very personal level. This is you as a child of God before God, where no one else can see. This meditation is something that the child of God does with a purpose, and we'll come back to that in the third point here, but it's the digestive faculty of the soul. The child of God not only hears, but he receives and he mulls over the Word of God as it comes into his mind and his heart, and he converts the knowledge that he receives into nourishment. We sometimes pray that we may apply the Word of God to our lives. That means that as we leave the Word of God, whether in personal devotions or in the worship of God or in family devotions, when we leave the Word of God, we meditate on it, we think about it so that it bears fruit and nourishment in our lives. We shouldn't just be concerned with knowledge, but we should meditate with a purpose. What does the Word of God do in our lives? What impact is there? That's what meditation does. The child of God doesn't just swallow the Word, but he dwells on it till there's a sweetness and a nourishment that spreads over his soul and his life. And that's what Mary is doing here. And as today we remember the birth of the Savior, that's what we need to do as well. We ought to ask ourselves, and not just today, but every day of our life, do we meditate like this? Do we ourselves take time to meditate on the things of God? There's a sense in which our minds are always going. They're not in neutral. They're always being filled with something. But what are we filling our minds with? What's the default setting of our mind? When we come to an idle time, when we're parked in our car at a red light and it seems to last for a week, what's our mind thinking about? The busyness of our life? Anxiety? Lustful thoughts? Or do we ponder the things of God? That's what you see here in the example of the faith of Mary. God has revealed great things to her, and she puts them next to each other, and she compares spiritual things with spiritual. And she's able to draw conclusions from this in her own life so that there's an impact in her life. What do you do with a sermon? What do you do with the Word of God after you've read it? What do you do with a confession of faith that you hear from the mouth of somebody else concerning their faith in God? Do you meditate? Do you ponder these things? There are many things we think about, many things that we find so important, and we relive them in our minds. A social event, a conversation, something that we've done. But are we pondering the things of God as Mary does? So that's the first thing, what Mary did. And then in the second place, we want to answer this question. What did Mary ponder? What was in her mind? And this is very important this morning as we think about and as we remember the birth of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of celebration in the world during this season of the year, and it's all called Christmas celebration, but there's very little real pondering on the great mystery of Bethlehem, which Mary ponders here. And so it's very important, and this could be true in our lives too. You spend so much time shopping and preparing for get-togethers and parties and all kinds of things. But have you sat down with your wife, with your children, and talked about who this is and why he came? Have you sat down on your own before the Lord and meditated the great wonder of Bethlehem? What is Mary pondering? The text says, Mary kept all these things. And that refers, first of all, to the visit of the shepherd and the things that she heard from the shepherds. What a marvelous visit, baby visit this was. How unexpected. Joseph and Mary have been pushed aside from mainstream life, and here they are all alone in a cattle stall with this new baby. Who would know about it? And suddenly there are visitors at the door, not well dressed, more suited to the environment of a stable, but listen to them. And listen to what they have to say. And listen to what they've seen and heard. What a visit. In verses 10 through 14, you have a record of what they had just experienced. And you can imagine that these are the things that they tell Mary and that she ponders in her heart. We were out in the field and we had our sheep all huddled together for the night, and suddenly there was a bright light and an angel and we were terrified. And another one says, but this is what the angel said, fear not, don't be afraid. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And another one, but this is what they said about this baby. About his name, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. And another one, and the angel told us there was a sign, that what we see here now is a sign. And there was suddenly a great host of heaven singing praises, glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth toward men. And imagine them telling these things to Mary and Joseph. And then hearing what Mary and Joseph have to say, because there was that here as well. In verse 17, you read of their response. They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They heard things. And they hear from Joseph and Mary about the visit of Gabriel and the conception of the baby in her womb without a man, and the visit of Gabriel to Joseph and all the marvelous events. And they go and they publish these things abroad. What a conversation. What a baby visit. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She's thinking about the mystery of Bethlehem. When other babies are born, there's great celebration. This baby brought celebration from the angels of heaven. These are the names that the shepherd said concerning this child. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord. She savors and treasures and ponders those things in her mind. This shall be a sign. So we're not here in the stable by accident. Christ isn't born and wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger by accident, but God Himself says, this shall be a sign. Somehow this is appointed by God with a purpose. Mary ponders these things in her heart as she sits nursing her child, looking down on him, folding and unfolding his fingers, looking at his little thighs. She ponders the great things that the shepherds and the angels say. And we can go beyond even just what the shepherds say, because Mary is putting things next to each other here in her mind. She's pondering and comparing them with each other and drawing conclusions, and she hasn't forgotten the visit of the angel Gabriel to her. She hasn't forgotten the marvelous things that the angel said, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. She hasn't forgotten the visit to Mary and to Elizabeth and the words of Elizabeth, the mother of my Lord. She knows the promises of the Word of God. She sang of them in her song, and God keeping His covenant. She's meditated on the Word of God, and she's putting all these things together in her mind. What a wonder! She's probing the mystery and the marvel of Bethlehem. She meditates on the works of God. The psalmist says in Psalm 63 that he'll meditate on the works of God. Something impossible has happened. She knows that. How shall this be? And the angel says, that which is impossible with man shall be possible with God. And she thinks about all the works of God in the Old Testament, and she meditates upon them, and she thinks about the impossible occurrences as far as man's concerned. The creation of the world, and the flood, and the passing through the Red Sea, and the victory as the Israelites come into Canaan. And here's another one. Something impossible has taken place in her womb. She's holding in her hands a miracle, a wonder. And she puts these things all next to each other, out on the table, and she compares them. If this, and this, then this. Who is this child that she holds in her arms? She ponders all these things in her heart. What do you think she sees? What's the conclusion she draws in her mind's eye? Well, this is the Son of God in the flesh. She looks at His hand. She thinks of the hand of God. She looks at His arm, she thinks of the arm of God, strong to save. She looks at His face, and she thinks of the gracious face of God. His feet, she thinks of the footsteps of God. This is the Son of God in human flesh. And she'll continue to ponder these things. When he's 12 years old, she ponders these things. She's going to see things in her life that are so unnatural and unhuman. Imagine having in your home this perfect, sinless child. This is what Mary's thinking. And don't you think that as she's pondering these things, she asks, why? Why? Why these things that the angels have said to me and to the shepherds? Why a son of David? Why are we here in the stable? Why in Bethlehem? Why does the Son of God become man in human flesh? And the answer is this: Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's what the angel had said to Joseph. Call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. These are the things that Mary ponders. And her surroundings tell her, this is why he came. Born in a stable, laid in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. He didn't come to be a great emperor and a great military leader. She gave birth to him lying on straw and amid smelling manure. He didn't come as a prince of this world. He was rejected. No room. Mary ponders all these things in her heart. This was the God-appointed way. This is the way it had to be born. This spoke of why he came, of the character of his work. This shall be a sign unto you. He didn't come to lead armies. He didn't come to bring social reform and world peace. He wasn't here for politics and power, but he came to be rejected. This would be his life. He would suffer. And this is how he would save. He came to suffer for sinners, to be hated without a cause, to be cast out. He came for the cross. And Mary ponders these things in her heart. And beloved, as we think about Christmas and as we remember the birth of Jesus Christ and as we respond to the birth of Jesus Christ, we should meditate on these great mysteries. The love and the wisdom and the greatness of our salvation in Christ. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What a gift. And what wisdom of God. If we would sit in a room for a month, we wouldn't be able to come up with something. And yet it's so simple and so sublime, yet so profound. Here, the baby in Bethlehem, he looks just like us. But it's the person of the Son of God, fully God and fully man, and he'll go to the cross, and when he goes to the cross, my sin will be transferred to him, and in his suffering and his death, God will be satisfied with the payment for my sin. What a great salvation. What wisdom. And through faith in him, salvation comes to me as I believe on him. And what a salvation. He presents me faultless before the presence of God with exceeding joy. This is the wonder and the mystery of Bethlehem. This is what we should meditate. This is the reason for our rejoicing and the things for which to give thanks to God. As we probe and ponder and keep and think on and mull over the mystery of Bethlehem. Mary kept all these things and she pondered them in her heart. And it had results. It had results in her life. Meditation has results. It has an impact in the life of the child of God. It's not like the Buddhist and the Far Eastern meditation in which you attempt to disconnect yourself from life, but Christian meditation in which we meditate on and treasure the Word of God and the revelations of God has an impact in our life. This is the purpose and the goal of our meditating on the Word of God. Psalm 119 shows this. Again and again, the psalmist talks about how he meditates and thinks and treasures and keeps the Word of God. Why? In the second part of the psalm, he asks, how shall the young direct their way? What light shall be their guide? Thy Word. Thy Word. And so he says, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, kept, treasured, pondered, that I might not sin against thee. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 15, Paul says to Timothy, meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them. Why? That thy profiting may appear to all. He's talking about growth, spiritual growth. there's an impact in the life of the child of God through his pondering and meditating the Word of God. It goes beyond the mind to the heart and to the life and the action and the thoughts of the child of God. And you see that in Mary. What does it produce? Well, first of all, this pondering of Mary at the birth of Jesus Christ produces deeper and continued pondering in her life later on. Later on, you have the words of Simeon, "A sword shall pierce thine own heart also." And then the rebuff of Jesus when she rebukes him. He says, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" What does she do with these things? She keeps them and she ponders them in her heart. And there's a deepening in this of her understanding. Her reflection here at the manger leads to greater reflection later. Sometimes you have a very shallow Christian. In the church too. She wasn't a shallow Christian. And what's the problem? What's the cause of such a shallow Christian? It's not because of a lack of mental capacity, but it's because this person doesn't ponder and meditate the revelation of God and the wonders of Bethlehem. Her deeper pondering leads to a deepening of her saving relationship to her Son, a deepening of her faith in Him. What was her relationship to this child? Well, it was her infant. It was a physical relationship. She was the mother. She cared for this child from the moment he was born. She taught him. She fed him. She raised him. She cared for him. She protected him. But all that has to change. And throughout her life, it does, till finally she stands at the cross. And he distances himself. "Woman, behold your son," she says of John. He says of John. And so she ponders these things. She can't always understand them. And that's because she, like every other human being, has to see that her relationship to her physical son is not physical only, but it's much greater. It's the relationship of saved to Savior. This child isn't the product of her rearing, but she's the product of His grace and saving work. This child is not, first of all, her son, but he's the Son of God. That's where her pondering has to lead. And so her pondering leads to a deeper faith in her Savior. And that produces in her life a godliness. What does Mary become? Well, she becomes a disciple of the Lord, a follower of Him. This impacted her life. What's a disciple? One who walks in His steps, one who takes up the cross daily and follows Him. We don't read much about the life of Mary, but the Bible does tell us that she was a follower, a disciple. It impacted her life. And as we ponder the Word of God and the mystery of Bethlehem, it has to do that to us too. Not just a greater knowledge, not just a deeper faith, but also an impact in our lives. That's the point of meditation. So that we have lives, so that we have a character, so that we have a conduct that's changed by the Word of God. We're sanctified by the Word of God. We're renewed in our minds by the Word of God. We don't just study. The end of study is truth, but we meditate. The end of meditation is holiness. And so, as we finish this morning, the Word of God urges us, leaves us with this, to meditate on the Word of God, not to be lost in thought, but that our meditation on the Word of God may have an impact, bear fruit in our life, so that we reflect the glory and the perfection of the Savior in our lives. We thank God for what Mary knew, for the revelations made to her. We ponder them with her, but God has made known to us a greater and a more full revelation in all of the Scriptures. And we know, we understand the mysteries that Mary was grasping after. And it ought to produce in our life faith and godliness. And this is how we remember, this is how we respond to the birth of the Savior. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for not only the birth of the Savior, but the great revelations that came with His birth, and the great examples in Scripture of believers who in faith responded. We pray, Lord, that we, in our Christmas celebrations, may have a true, deep faith in Christ Thy Son, understanding not only who He is, but also why He came, and that there may be a fruit and impact in our lives as well. For Jesus' sake we pray it. Amen.